What's up, y'all? Summer's got a different tempo. Everything's a little looser, brighter. One plan turns into another. You hear something, you stay a little longer. Next thing you know, you're somewhere you didn't plan to be. It's those in-between moments. That's where the ideas hit. Conversations stretch out, little memories sneak up on you. And sometimes, it's just about what's in your hand. That color, that chill. The new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks. Guava and passion fruit flavors with mango pineapple flavored pearls. Yeah, that feels like summer before you even taste it. Funny how one small stop becomes the best part of the day. Start your summer rhythm with Starbucks. Try the new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks.
There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen, and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free, and things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Why, I've got this one in front of me, Mr. Dennis. We're playing microphone hot potato in the studio here.
For like 16 weeks, you used the same mic.
And it's because it was sitting here. I didn't even realize that it wasn't the same mic. See?
Freaking me out, man, before the show.
That's how that goes, buddy.
Shouldn't do that when I'm dropping ecstasy.
Hey, no, stop.
Hey, now,
we don't do that on the show.
Mics.
hey, I want to welcome everybody. Thank you for joining us tonight and being here with us. For those of you that are in the chat room, if you'd like to ask questions of our guests this evening, I just ask that you private message them over to me, as I'm unable to follow along while I'm doing the show in the chat room. I can pull up the chat as we go, but I can't keep you keep reading along. Just send me a private message if you have any questions for our guests. We're also going to throw our phone number out there. Go ahead, Timothy.
952-830-1470.
But let's wait till we get our guests on the line this evening, and you can give a call and talk. Well, I don't mean from you. I mean for the people out there. So if you want to jot down the number again, it's
952-830-1470.
So that way, if you'd like to call in and you have questions for any of our guests, remember, first hour here, we have Paranormal State with Ryan Buell is joining us. Second hour, we've got the guys from Ghost Adventures that are going to be joining us as well. We're going to be talking about their shows. Two quick things here before we get started. Tim.
Yes.
How about this? You realize this is our 20th anniversary of friendship this year.
I was going to say of the show.
No.
Oh, my God. I've been sleeping through it all.
No, this is our 20th year. We met 20 years ago this August, mm-hmm. September.
Mm-hmm. What are you getting me?
Well, yeah, I think...
I give you 20 years of my life and you don't get me anything?
I think 20 years is the cardboard anniversary, isn't
oh,
it?
Oh, yes. That's it. Yes. You're going to get me a Maytag box I can sleep in outside?
Exactly.
That'd be sweet.
But, you know, aside from being my co-host on the show, producer, and buddy, he's also my best friend. We've Aww. Been buddies for the last 20 years, and he's also the pseudo-uncle to my little boy, who's now not so little.
No, he's not.
Tim,
yeah.
Can you believe this? The boy was deployed. He's off to Iraq.
I talked to him today.
So we've got that going on, and I want to just thank everybody who at MySpace, wrote to my blog and wished him well, and sending out angels and light and energy and prayers. Keep him in your prayers. I appreciate it. My little boy is a big old man now, out fighting the bad guys over in Iraq.
He's got a deep voice too. Scares the hell out of me.
Yeah, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He sounds like me. He calls up my mom all the time. He's like, "Hey, Ma." My mom's like, "Hey, what's it?" This isn't Dave. So he'll toy with her all the time. But I want to thank everybody for their love and support on our website and for being there and, just saying all the kind things that you've said to both my son and myself. And thank you very much for sending him off with the power of love and God behind him. So thank you all for doing that. Next up, right on our show here, we've got something exciting going on. Let's go ahead and bring on the line with us. We've got Lisa from Nevada Spirit Seekers on the line. Lisa, are you there?
I am here.
Thank you very much for joining us here for the first few minutes of the show. You've got something exciting going on coming up here. We've got the International Paranormal Conference coming up, right, in Canada.
Victoria, Canada, yes.
Right, and now I'm going to be one of the speakers there and hosting with you. And let's go ahead, tell us the lineup. Who are some of the other speakers that you have online this year?
I have Mark and Debbie Constantino, their EVP specialist, Patrick Burns of True Haunting Evidence, Randy Schneider, who knows the Frank's Box. Quite a few people are getting to know him. Amy Bruni from Taps Radio, Lloyd Arbach, Tiffany Johnson. And then we have John Adams, who's also the historian in the Victorian area that will talk about all the places we're going to be investigating. He knows all the history, the haunted history.
All right, great. Now, the event, go ahead and give the dates for the event again.
The event is July 6th through 9th.
All right, July 6th through the 9th. And now you were recommending for people that don't want to fly directly into Canada, because it can be expensive, there's a cheaper route, correct?
Yeah, they fly into Seattle and take the ferry boat over, and then they don't need passports, because I know that was a concern.
Oh, really? I thought the rules, just checking with you as well on this, I thought the rules were you don't need a passport to get out of the United States, but you need one to get back in.
Not anymore now. The rules have changed. The immigration rules have changed.
Oh, really?
Canada and Mexico, you know, are required to have a passport.
Oh, you are?
Yep.
Oh, really? Okay. I thought it was as of 2009 you needed one to get out of the country.
Nope.
Oh, okay. All right. So it's all in play. So, all right. Well, we've got that. So it's in Canada coming up this July. Now, it's kind of exciting, too. The normal ticket prices are what? What were they?
I had them at $225, and I put them down to $175. But
right.
I'm
we've got the special price going for Darkness Radio fans of $175.
Right.
So that you can check that out. But we also have a special giveaway tonight. Lisa is working along with us. We're helping to sponsor this event. Tonight, we're giving away 10 pairs of tickets to the event that'll get you in for the entire event, for all the fun that we're going to be doing. You're still required to get yourself there and get the hotel. But tell them about the hotel, first of all. That's an amazing deal right there.
The hotel, the rooms right now at that time of year are $423, and we're getting them for $169.
Wow.
And they will not find a cheaper hotel in that area at this time of year.
And what's the name of the hotel again? Tell a little bit of background on
that. The hotel is the Fairmont Empress.
Okay.
And it's right there, right on the dock where they'd be getting off the ferry. I mean, it's right across the street from the ferry dock.
Great. And now, what all is going to be involved? Are there ghost hunts involved on this trip?
Yeah, we're going to be ghost hunting Hatley's Castle, which is another castle. It was built in 1908. A lot of history there. There's going to be a guy giving us a lot of history about that. One of the oldest cemeteries we're going to be doing, Rogers Chocolate, has a lot of haunted history. And then the courthouse, there's going to be at least two other areas. There's at least six spots. We're going to investigate three one night and three on the next night.
All right, great. So, and that's all part of the package. So we're going to give away 10 sets of tickets. So you get, we're giving away 10 sets. So you get two tickets. All you need to do is email me at dave@darknessradio.com. Be within the first set, and we're going to actually do this a nice way. So we're going to take 10 live callers tonight, 10 live emails tonight. And for anybody that's listening again on the archives, you are still part of this. So make sure to email in at dave@darknessradio.com. And in the subject line, say free tickets to Canadian Ghost Hunt, something along those lines. I'll pass that information on to Lisa. She'll get you registered and set up. It's going to be an amazing time if you do this. And again, pay attention if you want to do this. It's dave@darknessradio.com to be a part of the event. And come on out there, and you'll get, we're giving away 10 free passes for two. So check that out. Be a part of that. And again, thank you very much, Lisa. It's going to be a great event. I'm looking forward to it. First of all, I've never been out of the country.
Throw in my website there, too, because I can get
definitely
on there and do a lot.
Go ahead.
It's www.nvspiritseekers.com.
That's nvspiritseekers.com. Okay.
Yeah, and all the information, the guest speakers, and there's a lot of hotel numbers and everything is on there for the...
Awesome. Well, thank you, Lisa, and I'll keep mentioning that throughout the show. Go to www.nvspiritseekers for more information on the trip. And tonight, if you want to sign up anytime after tonight again, you can do it by going to the website. There's a special price that she's reduced it to for Darkness Radio fans that you can get in there. So it's gone down from to 179. Is that what you said?
To 175.
Oh, 175, even better. So you can sign up during the week on that, or you can write into me, and if we still have the free passes, we'll be able to give them away to you, and you can join us in on the fun. It's going to be a blast. So
and
I want to thank everybody for that, too.
They can also email me, too. We are dead people.
Okay. We hear dead people at?
At AOL.com.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Lisa, and we'll look forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks and doing the event.
Okay, thanks, Dave.
All right, great. And okay. We're going to go on in a few minutes. We're going to talk to our next guest, but I just want to thank everybody for tuning in, being a part of the show with us here every Sunday night from 10 to midnight. Again, let your friends, relatives, and others know about it. You know what's been a really cool contingent here, Tim, is we get a lot of people that will actually listen to the show, burn it on compact disc, mm-hmm. and then pass them out to their friends. So we're getting people hooked that don't even get a chance to listen to the live show or maybe not have internet access that allows them to listen, but this is a great way to share the show. So I appreciate that, and we're getting a lot of – I'm getting a lot of feedback that
really?
Way. Yeah, people.
Who's burning the show?
My mom. Right. She brings it to work. No, just people that tell me that, you know, they listen to the show, they burn it on disc, mm-hmm. they listen to it in their car, and then they'll give it away to friends at work. So that's a, you know, great way to pass along the name. And just so you know, too, we have an open content license on our site. You're welcome to use the shows, put them on your website, you know, pull them out, share them with your friends, download them on your iPod. People can actually get this through iTunes as well, correct, Tim?
Yeah.
Yep. So how do they sign up? They go to planetparanormal.com?
If you want the RSS feed, go to darknessradio.planetparanormal.com, and there's a little button where you just click on to subscribe to RSS feed, and it drops in your iTunes box whenever you open it.
Excellent. Wow, that makes it sound so easy.
Yeah, it kind of is.
Speaking of easy, let's talk to our next guest.
Oh, so you say, sir.
One of the top-rated paranormal TV shows to have come out on the marketplace. Just came out this last year. Fantastic show. A couple of good friends of ours from the Penn State Paranormal Research Society. We've got online with us Mr. Ryan Buell. Good evening, sir.
So I'm easy, huh?
Well, that's what I hear.
Is that what you're saying?
Well, now, Ryan, first of all, before I even get started in this, we just got a chat here, my friend, because everybody's battling me about this. You're going to be a dad and you're engaged?
Yeah, you know, it changes every, you know, it's funny. You know, now I'm a Scientologist and tomorrow I'll be bisexual, you know.
Excellent. Oh, so you're creating your own rumor mill.
You know, I just like to try new things out. You know?
Like to try new things out? So today you decided right, you wanted to be an engaged father-to-be, and tomorrow you'll be a bisexual. Well, that's all right.
Well, you know, I mean, listen, Katrina's a hot gal, and, you know, one thing led to another. But, you know, I mean, Sergi's also pretty good-looking himself.
Well,
you know?
I will admit you're right on both counts, but I got to tell you, you're going to have to fist fight our friend Tim Dennis here for the love of Miss Katrina Weidman.
She's party.
You know, that's right. OmegaCon, right? Weren't you guys passing on photos?
Yes.
Tim, I tell you what, I will guarantee you 10 minutes of alone time with Katrina, you know, where you can just chat with her and hang out with her. She's dying to meet you.
Well, we actually met at Dannybrook, but very briefly, because I got to admit to you, Ryan.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I was very shy. So I kind of sat in a corner and looked at photos for a little bit because Adam Blight sent some light paintings over that he had done of the group at Dannybrook. So I was just kind of, you know, looking on my computer, turning red. I'm turning red now as I say this. And I was very shy. But then
Katrina says you're a very sweet guy.
Aww. She's easily fooled. Poor little girl.
Yeah.
Well, Ryan, let's talk. Now, you've got a season two coming out. Season one wrapped up. It did great in the ratings. You've got a lot of excitement and stuff going on. You guys are out filming right now for season two. Sounds like there's a fist fight ready to break out in the room behind you there.
We are celebrating Heather's graduation right now. Heather was the last of us to graduate college, and we are so happy. So, you know, we're knocking a few back and just chilling and relaxing. Can you hear me okay? Do I need to step out? Or?
No, you're okay. We're good to go here. So we've got, congratulations to Heather, of course, and we'll hopefully talk to her here during the show and talk to her about that as well. How about now you've wrapped up the season one. What are your feelings reflecting back on season one now? Is there anything you feel now that you've got your ground and your setting, are there things you wish you would have changed from the way that the show went season one that you are looking to do changes for season two?
You know, here's the thing. We filmed season one, and then we went back, and the weird thing was that Annie greenlit more episodes before the show even came out, which is weird in itself. And we had some great improvements with that. And I think really, it took us some time to really get our stride, you know what I mean? And if you look at, like, the first season of Ghost Hunters and other shows, it takes time for us to really, you know, to kind of perfect, you know how you go about and doing things. And with us, you know, it was kind of hard at the beginning because, you know, we were trying to find ourselves. I mean, I won't lie, we're young individuals who are trying to do something different. We're trying to experiment with new things. And, you know, it took us some time to really find our niche, if you will. And so I mean, there's a couple things. I mean, to be honest, we had a lot of trouble with getting religious clergy in there to do some things. I wasn't very happy with doing, like, some of the layman house blessings. I was very much against that. But at the same time, the clients are afraid to be in their homes. You got to do something. So, like, I went ahead and did that, you know. But now, I mean, ever since season one came out, I've had so many religious clergy of different faiths coming forward and saying, you know, if you need our help, we'll be there.
Well, let me talk to you about this then, too, Ryan. Here's a question that was actually brought up at one of our last live events that we did for Darkness Radio. One of the questions that was brought up about your show was, do you have concerns? I mean, as we saw by watching season one, that you think that you may be followed or kind of being taunted by a specific demon that's out there. Do you feel that there's any worry or concern going into homes for people that are obviously in a weakened state or in a vulnerable state? Are you concerned that if something really is following you, that you may be bringing it to these people in these vulnerable positions? Do you have concerns or worry that could have a negative impact on them?
You know, I'm kind of interested in that very question because in the past, like, week or so, I'd say, a lot of people have brought that to my attention. And to be honest, I'd have to say to these individuals who, you know, and it's an honest, fair question, first of all. But it seems a little biased when people, you know, automatically assume, okay, there's a demon following me. I mean, if you listen to, I guess, the director's logs, the narration of the show, I'm not necessarily saying that there is a demon following me place to place. I feel, you know, there's this huge backstory, and that's the complicated mess of that two-part arc that happened. Is, you know, a couple of years ago, I did a demonic case. I was very young. A priest brought me into this horrendous case that just ended up being, like, something out of, like, you know, the movies. And, I was told that by interfering, by helping the family, however insignificant my role is in that, that the demonic knew my name and it would not, like, this wasn't the end of it. Like, from time to time, it'd pop its ugly head in and try to intimidate and scare me. And you know what? Like, if we truly believe in the demonic, if we truly believe in all of this, I also believe in good. And for people to sit there and say, you know, you're bringing clients in harm's way because you have a demon following you. First of all, I believe that if you're doing good, you've got, and if we believe in the demonic, of course they're going to be following you and they're going to try to mess with you. Do I believe that there's literally a demon following me around and trying to torment my clients? No, I don't believe that crap. I believe that in that case, I was very shocked. That case was not supposed, that was not set up to be demonic. It was supposed to be a mom and pop haunting about a family that was murdered in, like, North Dakota or something, and they were buried across the street. We thought that was the connection, and then Chip came in and dropped that name, and, you know, the rest is history. I don't believe for a second that I have a demon following me case for case. And I believe, you know, very, you know, I am a Catholic. I believe that in the power of Jesus Christ, and I know that a lot of people out there are very touchy when it comes to religion, but, and I'm, this is purely subjective here. But I believe in my religion and in my spirituality and my faith. And I believe that, you know, I am protected. And I do not believe I'm bringing my clients in harm's way. I believe that if there are demonic hauntings and I walk into them, that I might be a familiar to them. And I believe that some other demonologists out there can kind of attest the same thing. I don't believe that I am literally being, you know, I have a stalker demon right. That's obsessed with me.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Not at least from hell, right? You've got a couple on the on the chat boards.
You know, that makes me blush. I mean, when I go on, like, MySpace, I feel like these 15-year-old girls, and they're just like, Mrs. Ryan Buell. I'm just like, you know, it's like, it's kind of a weird world, you know? But I love all of my fans. You're all adorable. I mean, they're all happy, supportive.
Oh, did you hear that, Tim? He thinks you're adorable.
Aww.
Tim, you are adorable.
You make me melt, Mr. Buell.
Hey, Ryan, we got a question for you. I know that you knew this was going to come. We got Sid from PPRS out in California, Pasadena Paranormal Research Society. He wants to know, where did you come up with the idea of dead time?
You know, honestly, it was just this theory, and I can't really pinpoint where it came from, but it was essentially what we did is we sat down and said, all right, what if you turned off all electronic devices you let the house just settle, and you put it in its natural environment. And by that, I mean it's at nighttime. There's no electronic interferences. There's no TVs on. There's no people walking around. You're just letting it settle, and you sit and observe, and you see what happens.
What you're saying by dead time isn't, I think that's what people are confused by, is they're thinking you're going by the witching hour or something. You're just renaming it. You mean you're literally just powering down everything and just allowing the house to be the house and see what occurs and what
Absolutely.
Noises you're picking up. Okay, so dead
Look,
time means more like just
dead
shut
time
up.
Does not have to be at 3 a.m. Hey, were you telling me to shut up, Dave?
No.
Man, you've been getting testy. You got to get an ego growing.
No, I was saying that's what you're telling during the dead time is just telling everybody it's just kind of a shut-up period where everybody just kind of sits back, listens, and you don't focus so much on the investigation but is letting the investigation almost come to you.
Absolutely. That's all it is. It's nothing super, you know, it's nothing mystical. You know, now, I mean, there's a lot of people who think the psychic hours are from, like, you know, like 9 p.m. to 6 a.m. or something like that. So we do it within those hours, but, you know, we do it at 10 p.m., we'll do it at 1 a.m., we'll do it at 4 a.m., you know, it's something that I'm a little outspoken about, that it's always at 3 a.m., but, you know, look, they want to keep labeling it 3 a.m., whatever, but, you know, it doesn't have to be 3 a.m., it doesn't have to be.
Yeah, so, yeah, right, it could be any time, it's just that you guys try to get it all at one time, so it's just like a synchronized move for you. You know you're going to do this much investigating, and at this point, this is just a shutdown period. Well, that makes
Absolutely.
Sense. Well, we're going to take our first break here, Ryan, so stick with us. We'll be right back with more questions from our listeners. And so give a call in, and you can talk to Ryan Buell from Paranormal State. We'll be back with more right after this.
It will keep you on the edge of your seat.
I must have drank me about 15 Dr. Peppers.
I got a pig.
Just don't get any on the floor. Hurry back. There is more to come from the darkness on the edge of town. You hear footsteps and things bumping and banging in the middle of the night. Could it be paranormal activity? Or is it just Dave and Tim raiding your fridge?
Beer.
Strange things happen in the darkness on the edge of town.
And welcome back to the show. You're listening to Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. Hey, I want to mention all you people out there right now, we do have our brand new Waverly Hills Paranormal Retreat coming up, and we've got it up for sale. Only 100 tickets available for the event, period. It's taking place at the end of July, and check this out, Tim, not one night, but two full nights of investigations. So if you pay to come in, you get two full nights to investigate. Pretty
Sweet.
Cool. You get Chris Fleming from the show Dead Famous.
I get to take him back to my room?
Yes. Patrick
Sweet.
Burns from the TV show Haunting Evidence. Mm-hmm. You've got John Bly and Adam Zaffis. We've melded them together.
Nice.
But
into one
John
entity.
Zaffis and Adam Bly will be there, the demonologists. Michael and Marty Perry, two of the most talented mediums I've ever come across, will be there joining us as well. Tim and I will be on hand. It's going to be a great time. We hope that you'll come out. And, of course, from the hit TV show on A&E, Paranormal State, we're going to be joined by Mr. Chip Coffey, one Ooh. Of our favorite all-time mediums as well, will be out there, and he'll be doing a talk, so you get a chance to meet Paranormal State and host of his new show, Psychic Kids, for A&E. He's going to be out there, Chip Coffey. Tickets are on sale right now. You get the two nights to investigate. You get like 12, 14 hours of content talks. It's going to be a great time out there. I hope that you'll join us. Go to darknessevents.com. Click on it. We've already sold about half of our tickets out already, so if you want to go, jump on this. It's going to be a great time. Last year when we went out there, unfortunately, Timmy mm-hmm. had to stay back. It is the first of all of my events, the very first event that I actually had paranormal experiences happen to me. Not only did they happen to me, but they happened to every one of the celebrities that were there. Huge groups of our people there were experiencing in group where they could hear a spirit walking back and forth in a room where nobody was there. They were being touched. I heard the steps following me up the staircase in the dead zone in the death tunnel. And there's also people in there with me when we heard steps approaching us in the death tunnel. It's going to be great. So check out the website again, darknessevents.com. And again, if you were listening a little bit earlier, we have Lisa from the International Ghost Conference was on. You can check out her site at nvspiritseekers.com. That's nevadaspiritseekers.com, nvspiritseekers.com. Tonight, we are giving away 10 free sets of tickets to attend the event in Victoria, Canada. And she was saying, it's cheaper if you fly into Seattle and take the ferry over. So you could, you know, fly right into Seattle, take the ferry over, be a part of it. The hotel is there. The two free passes will get you into the event for the entire weekend and include the passes to investigate. You just have to take care of your travel and the hotel, and they've got a great deal for the hotel room as well while we're out there. So check that out. You can email me, dave@darknessradio.com. Email in, say that you want the free passes for the event at the in Canada, and we'll put you in touch with Lisa, and you will be a winner of two free passes. So we're going to get back into the show now. We're going to take some more questions from our guests. And actually, let's go. We've got our first callers on the line with us. Can you hear me okay, Ryan?
Yeah, I can hear you, man.
Okay, it's real loud in the background there.
I'm moving.
We've got our first caller in. Who's our first caller, Tim?
First caller is Kristen.
Kristen, are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay. Do you have a question for Ryan?
Yes, I sure do.
Ryan, can you hear Kristen okay?
Yes, I can. Hey, Kristen.
Hi, Ryan. I watched the whole season, and I am an older-ish human being, although not very old. And I just thought that Ryan handled himself very well for a younger person, and I wondered if he had any problems going to people's homes, if they feel comfortable with him because of his age. And if there's any kind of problems with that, or the age of the group in general.
That's a great question, actually. You know, there's a little bit of a shock when we first started doing investigations, and we'd show up, and, you know, I remember when a client told me when I was talking to her on the phone, she was like, she thought I was in my 40s, and she expected me to have like a white goatee, glasses. And she's like, all of a sudden this kid shows up at my door. But, you know, we really dedicate ourselves to our craft. And, you know, there are other people out there, probably our age and younger, who they really just want to help people. I don't think age, you know, I don't think we should discriminate to age, because, you know what, who really knows what's going on out there? Who knows how to really investigate? And the bottom line is these people just want to be heard. They just want to be treated seriously. And we'd go in there, and that's why we bring in some experts, you know, who have had wisdom and have been in the field for a while, you know, just to kind of, you know, act as a compliment in the fact that, you know, we don't think we know everything. You know, I don't claim to know everything. My team doesn't. And so we're constantly learning, and we just try to help our clients in the best way possible.
That seems to really come through, too.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. You know, I mean, we've definitely taken a little bit of slack about the whole age thing, and, you know, we never get that down. Honestly, I take it as a compliment. You know, I think that, you know, a lot of people our age, you know, they could be doing other silly things, but, you know, we're really passionate about what we do.
Hey, Ryan, you know, going forward, thank you very much for the question, Kristen. We appreciate that.
Thanks, Kristen.
Yep, thank you.
You know, going forward, Tim and I are happy to work as the Milli Vanilli of the paranormal field. So if you ever need to send us in to pretend to be you guys, and then, you know, we'll just have little radio buds in our ears so that they get the old person perspective on doing the investigations, we'll certainly fake it for you. Will that help?
All right, Dave, so you'll be Katrina, right?
Yeah, well, I'll never leave my dressing room then. I'll just be in there marveling at my body all the time. All right. Let's see. We've got a bunch of other questions here. Let me try to get to this question. Scotty McSpector on our boards is saying, could I ask Ryan, is he going to be doing more famous haunts for season two? Or are you going to stick with the lesser known stuff that doesn't get much press, like the personal experiences and personal houses?
Yeah, you know, I think there's already enough shows out there that do that. I mean, we're not... In all respect to that, that's just not what we're really interested in. You know, our show is a lot about the human experience. Our show is about helping people. And we did the asylum episode, and essentially that in that case, the clients, if you will, were the memories of the people who had you know, who had passed. You know, and the American system for psychiatry and institutions, you know, wasn't perfect when it first started. So we kind of honored that memory, and that's why we chose to do that episode. There's a couple really cool things that we might do. I think, you know, what we call our monster episode, which for season one was Mothman and Prophecies, it did really well, which is kind of a really big surprise. So we'll probably do another one of those. But when it comes to other famous haunts, you know, we're really not interested unless there's a really good story involving people and people needing help. Because you know what? Ever since the show's come out, we've had over 7,000 emails from people who are asking for help. And it just doesn't feel right to go to a cool, spooky location over some other people who are literally in fear of staying at their homes.
Well, I agree. You know, and since you brought up the asylum, I have a question here from one of our guests in the chat room going by the name Waverly Hills History. The question is, you used a Frank's box in that asylum episode. Have you used it again since then? And if so, what did you think of the results from the asylum or the continued results that you've gotten?
I've only been exposed to Frank's box once. I have spoken to Frank Sumption a few times via email. He's a very nice guy. And Chris Moon was very nice and letting us use the box that night. He was there. To be honest, I've said this on some blogs and in some essays. 80 to 85% of the stuff that Frank's box was spewing out was hard to comprehend. You really couldn't make it out. But then that 15%, so extraordinary. It was almost hard to pass up. I mean, when you ask the box how many spirits are here, and all of a sudden and very clearly you'll hear there are seven. You know, and then when you say, you know, what's the spirit's names, and then it says Lucy, and you're just like, oh my God, this is pretty amazing. There were moments like that happened. Then there were some moments that I really just had trouble buying into. When Chris, you would hear nothing but muffled sounds, and he would go, oh, it's telling us to go downstairs in the basement into this room because that's where they are. You know, I have trouble buying that. And it's no disrespect to Chris or the box, but, you know, you can ask Chip. I mean, it doesn't always show on the show, but Chip has to prove himself every episode. Okay, you know, no matter how many times he's wowed me, whenever we come into a new episode, he's got to start from scratch. And with the Frank's box, there were definitely moments that were just very, very profound. But then, you know, again, 80-85% of the time, it was garbage. And so I would say that it's, of course, possible, just like anything else, like EVPs, mm-hmm. that there's something there. I think that more research needs to be done. And I think that there needs to be some more scientific research into the box, not just taking it out into the field, but, you know, actually studying it and statistically seeing how many times the box can give actual data or, you know, actual results.
All right. You know, we have a follow-up question from DVP John in our chat room, and he was mentioning about the dead time. He said that during one of the episodes or a couple of the episodes, you mentioned it as the anti-hour. And what is the anti-hour, and what exactly does that mean?
3 a.m. This is the anti-hour. It's, you know, 3 a.m., when I refer to the anti-hour, I'm referring to 3 a.m., which in especially the Catholic sense is, you know, if we believe, and again, this is if we believe in the realm of the demonic, in a strict Christian Catholic point of view, the demonic, they're not really original. They essentially copy, the hierarchy of God and the angels and everything. So, you know, Jesus supposedly died on the cross at 3 p.m., so the anti-hour is 3 a.m. They do things in complete opposites. You know how, okay. You know, in the Catholic sense, there's the hierarchy of angels? Well, it's the same, supposedly, in the demonic realm. You've got the, I guess, the demon archangels and so on and so forth. You know, it's like it's an opposite effect. So that's what I refer to.
All right, we've got a call from Marie with us. Is that right, Tim?
Yep.
Marie,
hi.
Are you there?
Yeah.
Hey, Marie, you have a question for Ryan?
Yes, I do.
Okay, go ahead.
Ryan, I was curious as to when you're going to be debuting your first book about the paranormal, because I'm sure it's coming.
That's a great question. I've received a lot of offers, and to be quite honest, you know, I've always kind of held out for certain things that I'm really interested in doing, and I want to do a book that's real and true. And I finally made a deal with a publisher that is kind of going in the area that we came up with a mutual agreement as to what I really want to do. So I don't know when that book will come out, but I am writing a book right now. I can't say that there is a book that I am working on that will come out. There was talks about it coming out this year, but it could, you know, but realistically, it could also come out in 2009. So I would say 2009 at the latest.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Marie.
Bye, Marie.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. We're going to take, I got a couple more questions here from Ashley145 in our chat room, and then we'll take the next call. Ashley wants to know, Ryan, what's the hardest thing about your job? you know, what seems to be the toughest part for you doing this, either the radio show or the TV show or the overall investigation?
Honestly, Dave and Ashley, it is gaining the client's trust. You know, we don't go in there. We don't ask the clients to leave. We don't set up tech and just wait for paranormal activity to happen. We are committed to trying to figure out the who, why, when, what, and where of the phenomena. And so I truly believe that the answers, most of the time, rest in the clients themselves. Clients using occult devices, clients in an act of desperation, giving in to some sort of force that suddenly invades their home afterwards. A lot of stress and chaos happens in the home, and the next thing you know, paranormal activity follows. Or they start, remodeling, things like that. So, you know, when I go into a case, we go in there and we ask some really personal questions. And they don't, most of them don't make it to air. But, you know, because we respect our clients, a lot of the really personal stuff doesn't make it to air. But we have to ask those questions because we're trying to understand where these people are coming from, the psychological makeup. You know, we have them take psychological exams and things. And for a person who already thinks the world thinks I'm crazy for having a ghost and now I'm about to go on a TV show, to all of a sudden have a team come in and say, all right, we want you to take a psychological exam. Okay, now we want to talk to you about this in your marriage life and any trauma you've had, any sexual abuse, blah, blah, blah. It kind of scares them. And we really have to... And within like 48 to 72 hours, we have to really gain their trust, and that's a hard thing to do sometimes. So, you know, we always explain to our clients, we don't care what it is that they do. We're trying to help them, whether it's paranormal or not. And a lot of times, asking certain questions, you know, we get some results from it. And if it turns out that we think they need counseling because of some trauma they have, sometimes that's all it takes. And other times, we learn that there was some emotional trauma, which might have invited some spirits in theory. And so that's why, you know, we'll say, okay, well, this is where we need to go. And at the end of the day, the clients trust us. And I'm happy and proud to say that, you know, I keep in contact with most of my clients. And that's something that's very important to me.
All right. We've got a question here from, and we'll take this next call in a second, Tim. Is it all right? Let me take this one real quick because... Bree loves Ryan Buell on our website here is pounding me over and over with this question. Please ask Ryan, how do you handle all the emotional levels during investigations or the drama? For example, the Knickerbocker episode. Thank you very much. Bree loves Ryan.
I love you, Bree. Thank you. The Knickerbocker was hard because, you know, this wasn't really relayed in the show, but I'll be honest with you, Dave. I don't know if we've ever talked about this just privately, but I've been kind of struggling a bit with my faith and I guess the validity of this field, because if you actually watch our entire season, we don't have apparitions, we don't have things moving around, you don't see objects flying across the air. I mean, every once in a while there's some spooky sounds, you hear some EVPs, and it's a very honest kind of show. And with the Knickerbocker, we just became a little bit more skeptical, and it was very hard for me because with that case I was fighting to try to reason with her and say, you know, I don't think this is paranormal, and she believed very firmly that it was paranormal. And at the end, you know, we had that confrontation when the lights went out, and she was like, this was a sign that, because I was telling the spirit to get out and the lights went out, and it turned out that, you know, the power went out in the entire block, and it happens regularly. So there was a natural explanation to it. But to Peg from the Knickerbocker, she took it as a sign. And, you know, we got into a little argument. It was a little bit longer than what was shown in the show, but I was essentially trying to tell her, like, look, let's listen to reason. And she's trying to say, look, I understand what you're saying. I accept the fact that there's a natural explanation to this, but I don't care. I'm choosing to believe in the supernatural explanation, the supernatural possibility. Right. I don't care if the entire power went out in the entire world, I still took it as a sign. And you know what? People have been giving that Peg some slack for that and saying, oh, I think she's crazy. You know what? She chose to believe in something. We gave her the facts. She still chose to believe in something. She made her own assumption as an adult, and I respect her for that. And it took a little bit of an understanding, and essentially it kind of made me understand again why some people believe in the paranormal. You know, it's an explanation for things in our lives. You know, sometimes there's just things that are chaotic that we feel is a little bit beyond our control.
Right.
And so sometimes we look to supernatural explanations to things. We've been doing it for thousands of years.
Right.
And she acknowledged that it was that there could have been a natural explanation, but she chose to believe this, and it made her feel better. And that's, at the end of the day, you know, how can you argue with that?
Well, do you think it made her feel better because it's going to be better for her business if it's haunted as opposed to being a logical explanation?
You know, that's a very good counterpoint, Dave. But I trust my clients. I believe that she was very sincere. She truly believed what she was experiencing. I don't think that she believed in what she was experiencing for her business. I believe that she believed in it because of who she was as a person.
Okay. Well, we're going to take our second break here, Ryan. Stick with us, and all of you stick with us. We'll be back with more right after this.
Once you have seen Dave and Tim in the light, you'll understand why we must return to the darkness on the edge of town. Stay tuned. There is more to come. This show is so frightening, it'll scare the pants off you.
Beat it.
It's people with a dirty mind that think like that.
On second thought, maybe you should just keep them on.
You'd be amazed how often I hear that.
Welcome back to the darkness on the edge of town with Tim Dennis and Dave Schrader.
Welcome back to the show. You're listening to Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. Stay tuned. At the top of the hour, we have Chad Kalick from An American Ghost Hunter who's going to join us for a few minutes to talk about an amazing event that he's going to be holding out in New Orleans. We're also going to be talking to Zach and Nick from the TV show Ghost Adventures that'll be premiering this October on the Travel Channel. Right now, our guest is Mr. Ryan Buell from the television show Paranormal State, seen every week on A&E. All right, so tell us a little bit about season two kicking off here, Ryan. What's going to be going on?
Well, first, someone would like to talk to Tim.
Oh, is this Sergi? Do we have to listen to him?
Hi, Tim.
Hi, Katrina.
Aww. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good. Have you eaten any grilled cheese lately?
Oh. Now, you're going to have to tell that joke for everybody in order for them to understand it.
Oh, no, I can't. It's not PC.
Hey, Katrina, how are you?
I'm good, Dave. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks a lot. Hey, congratulations on getting a season two.
Thank you.
Appreciate you joining us here for a little bit. And then, hey, is our friend Heather there? Let's get her on and wish her a congratulations.
Oh, yes, she's here.
All right. Take care, sweetie.
You too.
How are you going to chase off my girl like that?
Yo, man. We
What's up
to
with
get
that,
through?
Man?
There's like 900 kids in this cast we got to talk to.
Hi, Dave.
Hey, Heather, congratulations.
Hey, thanks.
You are now a woman.
I realize that.
You've
graduated.
You're no longer suckling at the teat of the university. You're moving on to cut your own way and path. Well, congratulations. That's fantastic.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thanks.
So Heather, what are they going to do now that you're all graduated? You're no longer students. How are they going to change the beginning of the show?
You know, I don't know. I didn't really think about that.
I think it should go to director's log. We're all out of work, past former college students of Penn State. I think that's the way it's going to go. How are you looking forward to season two, Heather? Is it shaping up pretty cool?
I'm so excited. I've been thinking about it nonstop.
Yeah? Is it doing the things that you do on these investigations and being a part of it? Mm-hmm. You were new when you started with this show. You were a newer investigator. Now you're coming into season two. Do you have a little bit more swagger to your step? Are you a little bit more confident about going into these places? Or are there still things that kind of upset you or unnerve you at an investigation?
Well, I don't really let anything really, you know, upset me or unnerve me or anything like that. I try to keep my cool, but it's definitely like I definitely feel I have an idea of, you know, more of what's going on since I've been with the group so long now.
Well, very cool. Well, Heather, congratulations again.
Thanks.
And we'll look forward to watching you on season two.
Yes, thank you so much.
Can you throw us over to Sergi? Is he there with you?
Yes.
All right, Sergi. Let's get Sergi on the line.
See ya.
Take care.
Hey, Dave.
It's for you. Hey, Sergi. How are you?
How's it going, man?
Doing great. Thanks a lot for joining us for a few minutes here tonight.
No problem.
You know what? Why don't we direct a question here to Sergi. Sergi, you know, we have some questions that were coming in for Ryan, but what's your take on the shadow people phenomenon and things? Do you think it's something that's always of a malevolent nature because it's so dark, or do you think, you know, they're just another ghostly manifestation that, you know, doesn't necessarily mean because they're darker that they're evil?
Wow. I honestly can't believe you're asking me this question because we just got off a case that dealt with shadow people.
Wow, very good.
All right, to be honest with you.
And that question comes from Jill in our chat room, by the way.
Hey, Jill, how's it going? Did she respond?
Yeah, she's just in the chat room.
She said, oh my God, it's Sergey!
Yeah.
Honestly, here's my take on it. I feel, and this could be a little bit of the, did Ryan mention that we were at a bar?
Right.
So it could be a little bit of the alcohol. There's like a little bit of a beer theory coming out of me right now. So honestly, I think that maybe there could be creatures or races out there that we just don't know about, and maybe these are the shadow people. And I don't think they could be necessarily malevolent. Maybe they're just sort of watchers or observers, if you will. And so that's why when we catch them, we've all heard many stories of people just catching them in the corners of their eye and nothing bad happens. So honestly, maybe it's just these people passing by. Maybe there's rifts in the time. Who knows what causes it? But I personally don't think that every time there's a shadow person involved or something shadowy that it necessarily could be malevolent. It could just be something there watching. Well, I don't want to say watching you because that sounds kind of creepy. So
right,
maybe,
but maybe that's what their job is they're watching us.
Yeah.
Now, did you have a chance when you were doing investigations, have you seen or experienced shadow people phenomena yourself?
Well, here's my, I mean, honestly, I, for every time I think that I see a shadow person in the corner of my eye, I kind of face it, I kind of put it into the fact that it could have just been my imagination, and maybe an object just looked like a shadowy person, until I see something standing right in front of me, and I can actually see it moving, or, you know, maybe it's waving at me, only then will I go, all right, there's got to be a shadowy person there.
Hey, Chad Kalick is in our chat room here. He's asking me on PM. He wants to know, how come you like Canon over Sony for cameras? And he said he'll hook you up with a Sony sponsorship if you ditch those Canons.
Oh, Chad, don't make me say that on the air.
That there's any difference in the cameras? Are there specific equipment that you recommend over others when you're doing an investigation like that for photography?
Well, here's the thing. The one thing I love about Sony is that they have amazing night technology, like night low light situations. They have night vision stuff on all their cameras, which is amazing. And that's the one thing I prefer Sony's over Canon's. But my first camera was a Canon, and so I have that kind of loyalty factor going in. And just Canon is just my preferred product. And I know they're, you know, great. They have all the quality from the photos is just phenomenal. But as far as preference, you know, I'm always got my camera on me, just ready to take any sort of photos. We have with us, we use Canon cameras and video cameras both. Mm-hmm. I've tried JVCs, which also deliver great kind of quality stuff for the average user. And honestly, I think with the way technology is going these days, it's really hard to find a low end unless you're using one of those old VHS, old school kind of equipment.
Yeah, old school, Sergi. You're talking to the guys that grew up with old school.
Yeah, baby. Run DMC and all that.
Well, hey, Serge, can we give a quick yell? Is Elfie there as well?
Yeah, Elfie's totally here.
All right, great.
Is there room for Josh as well?
Oh, forget
no.
Josh. Who the heck is Josh? I don't think we've got
room.
No,
Josh?
I'm just kidding with you. Yeah, we'll try to get him on here as well, but go ahead and throw Elfie on the phone. Take care,
right,
Sergi, and congratulations with season two coming up.
Thanks a lot, Dave. Thanks a lot, Tim. Have a good show, guys.
Thanks.
Elfie! Get your ass on. Yo.
Hey, Elfie, how are you?
Doing good. How you doing?
Good. Hey, congratulations on season two and a very successful run for season one.
Oh, thank you so much.
You know, we have a question here from Marley G. in our chat room, and she wants to know, what kind of support does Penn State University play in the formation of the group that you guys are part of? Were you a student-run organization? Does PSU, you know, help you guys or back you in any way?
We are a student-run organization. Actually, PRS, the Paranormal Research Society, is kind of separate from PSU. And there is still a group organization there in PSU, but this is really just like what Ryan's field, actually.
All right, very cool. Well, yeah. But being a part of this team, now, how long have you been a member of the paranormal group?
I think it's going on 6 years now.
6 years, great.
Yeah.
Good deal. Well, we want to thank you very much for being a part of the show tonight, Elfie. Congratulations. Keep up the great work. We're going to, if we can bring Ryan back on, we've got a caller waiting to speak to him real quick.
Oh, cool. Yeah, all right. I'll put him right back on.
Thank you, sweetie. Have a good one and take care, and congratulations on season two.
Oh, thank you. You too. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Three beers later, here comes Ryan Buell, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen.
Dave, I don't know how you do it. All these women, they just love to talk to you.
Aww. Hey, that's not nice to call Sergi a woman. Come on. Hey, we've got a call on the line here. We've only got about a minute and a half left, Ryan, so let's take this call. And who do we have online with us?
This is Tuesday.
Oh, Tuesday. Great. Go ahead. We need a quick question for Ryan.
The question is, I hear that Lorraine Warren has signed with your second season. Is that correct, Dan? If so, what can we look forward to seeing things with her in the show?
Thank you, Tuesday.
You're welcome.
So that Lorraine, she signed for season two with our show?
Right.
Yeah, you know, I think there'll be a bit more bitch slapping with Lorraine and Chip.
Excellent.
I think that's what we'll be expecting. I think, you know, Lorraine, you know, she's an old-fashioned lady. Don't mess with her, you know. But no, I think that, you know, we'll bring her on cases where we need her expertise. Let's be honest here, folks. When it comes to the paranormal, I don't care what you guys think about the Warrens. They've been around. They've seen it. They've done it all.
That's and right.
They have their opinions about things. They are religious, but you know what? They respect all religions. I think we can learn from them.
That's right.
And that's why, you know, I don't care how many people criticize Lorraine. She will continue to be on the show. She's always welcome.
All right. Ryan, we have another quick question here.
Real quick. I need you to repeat after me, Ryan. Are you ready?
Okay.
Director's log.
Director's log.
I can't believe I'm with these Darkness Radio dorks again.
I can't believe I'm with these Darkness Radio dorks again.
It's like having bamboo shoved under my fingernails.
It's like having bamboo shoved underneath my fingernails.
Please, somebody shoot me.
Please, somebody shoot me.
All right, great. That's all I'm
going to edit that, aren't you, Tim?
Yeah,
that's going to be horrible. Hey, quick question from Zoe in the chat room, and then we'll let you get going here. Are you going to be coming out to Chicago anytime soon?
Sure. I have nothing against Chicago. Bring me out there.
All right, we'll do that. Actually, we're working on a couple of events, hopefully working with you guys. So hopefully we'll bring you out to Chicago and do a live event there.
Yes, sir.
Hey, congratulations on the two successful seasons, your first season and the new one that you're filming right now, Ryan. Keep us in the loop and let us know if there's anything we can do for you guys. And again, UNIVCON is coming up this September, and people can check out information. They'll be able to see the full cast of Paranormal State by going to univcon.org, correct?
Yep, and Dave and Tim, I love you guys. Keep doing what you do.
Well, you know we love you and we support you. All right, thank you very much. And thank you all for tuning in to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. We'll be back with more and our next guests, Chad Kalick at the top of the hour, and then Zach Baggins and Nick Groff from Ghost Adventures.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.